Sugar. Primo, Primo, you know the deal. Let's play these records, man. All of them. DJs, DJs, all around the world. I'm not fucking with coward cabs who hide behind their raps and flashy Cadillacs, scared of the battle raps and semi-auto gats.
Ladies and gentlemen, my name is the Ultimate One, MJR. And if you're any kind of a wrestling fan, you know that I just stole that from Paul Heyman. Welcome to the real news. No longer the real motherfucking news, just the real news. I am here on the Trending Topics Network to give you, the listener, the weekly dose of major headlines with breakdowns and opinions. So let's not waste time. From the Huffington Post, in the boldest move on immigration policy of his presidency, President Barack Obama announced plans Thursday evening to dramatically increase deportation relief for an estimated 4.4 million undocumented immigrants. The executive action will protect parents as well as those who came to the U.S. as children and others with long-standing ties to the country from being forced out of their homes. That's all this means? Well, the article goes on to explain, Obama's plans will make a number of changes to immigration policy, such as renaming and revamping the controversial Secures Committee's policy, which states and localities across the country have increasingly opposed. It will also redefine immigration and customs enforcement, ICE, priorities to ensure agents are focusing on recent border crossers, defined as those who came after January 1st, 2014, along with convicted criminals, suspected terrorists, and potential threats to the national security. New policies broaden opportunities for high-skilled workers and could lead to further changes in how visas are distributed. The resulting changes could bring an amount of people given legal protection under the executive action to nearly 5 million. Now, what does all this mean? Does this mean that we now have open and free borders? No. If you were paying attention before, you would know that this executive order only protects those who were here before January 1st, 2014. Is this an impeachable offense like John Boehner has been saying? No, and you would actually need to prove that. You can't. I'm so sick and tired of Republicans on the Hill and Republicans on Capitol Hill talking about impeach this, impeach that, when if this was Bush doing it, they'd be all for it. But we all know that this is just bloviating, bitching and moaning and playing to a base that's already crazy. And no way in hell would they even try to attempt any kind of impeachment hearings based off of this, based off the fact that the executive order only affects the way ICE does its job, not the way anybody else does its job, only immigration and customs. And in more news of Republicans just saying stupid things, Ted Cruz thinks net neutrality is Obamacare for the internet. I'm gonna let that one sink in for a bit. After President Barack Obama came out strong for net neutrality by urging the FCC to treat the internet under Title II, which basically making it a public utility. But Ted Cruz opened his mouth and removed all doubt about how intelligent he really is.
The simple message that I want to convey today that we should remember, that members of Congress should remember, that policymakers should remember, is don't mess with the internet.
But that's exactly what the telecommunications people want to do. Mess with the internet. Their purpose, they want to create fast lanes. We're talking about the ISPs. The ISPs want to make it so that if you want to go on Netflix instead of Amazon Prime or whatever service that they have money in, they're going to make Netflix slower henceforth, messing with the internet, Cruz. See, this is a guy, I'm going to take back what I said before. He's not an idiot. He's just disingenuous. You, that smug smile on it. Don't let the smug, dopey smile fool you. This guy is real crafty. More from this clown.
The president last week came out for the FCC treating the internet as a public utility.
Now, I don't understand the rampant, that's not a rampant fear. You want the internet to be treated like a public utility, so that way it prevents ISPs from fucking with the internet and doing it based on who hasn't paid the king's ransom. Let's put this in perspective. if Ted Cruz makes an enemy out of the ISPs, how many do you seriously think you're still going to be in the king's favor when you propose a bill or you co-sponsor a bill that hurts their bottom line? See, that's the problem with guys like Ted Cruz. They still think that whatever they do, whatever bidding they do, they're always going to be in the king's favor. You know, the kings that I'm describing as the ISPs. But, you know, Ted Cruz is not the smartest guy in the branch. He's just the craftiest guy. He's just the craftiest guy out the bunch. We all know Ted Cruz is bought and paid for, you know. But at the same time, by him coming out and saying, oh, no, the government wants to slow down the internet. Okay, but you want the ISPs to take over and for them to dictate what sites I can go to and what sites get access and what sites get the most traffic. Yeah, here's what I don't want Ted Cruz to ever say again. He's for the free market, because killing net neutrality is one of the most anti-free market ideas I've ever heard. But more from this clown.
The worst thing that could happen is letting a whole bunch of politicians come in and regulate every aspect of what you're doing. The reason the internet has had the dynamism, the opportunity, the freedom, the diversity is because it hadn't been plagued.
And he went on to say that it has been plagued by, you know, regulations, but the internet has had regulations. The same laws would be in place. The same dynamism, the same opportunities would all still be in place when the internet is not taken over by Time Warner or Comcast or Cox Digital or any of the other major ISPs. What you want is you want the other ISPs to take over and dictate to people what internet sites they should go to. Oh, don't use Netflix. Use Comcast on the go or some shit like that. Or Time Warner on the go. We're faster because we made it that way, because now we control the internet. We control the speeds. And if you want to watch Netflix, well, Netflix didn't pay us the king's ransom that we wanted. So get ready for choppy, slow connections. This is what Ted Cruz is for. And remember, this guy is in the pockets of most of those major ISPs. But again, that's nothing new, though. That is a guy we know is bought and paid for. His face screams bought and paid for. But let's let him further explain himself.
This is regulated by Title II. This is not. Your smartphone, the internet, the apps, all of this is outside of Title II.
Hey, dumbass. You, for those with the enhanced radios, you can see that he took out an old rotary phone and showed, this is covered under Title II, and he pulls out his pocket a Apple phone. And what do I normally say about Apple? It's for idiots anyway. He pulls out an Apple phone and says, this smartphone is not covered under Title II. All the while forgetting that that phone is covered under Title II. How is it explained? I think what I need to explain to people what the Telecommunications Act is. The Telecommunications Act is what prevents AT&T, Verizon, and Sprint, or any other telecommunications network that you use from fucking you over. Say I wanted to call Piper the DJ because we both have T-Mobile let the call go through. But without Title II, and Piper the DJ has something like, you know, Sprint, and I have T-Mobile can say, well, I'm not going to let that call through because it's not within our network. Or I'm going to charge me more for making that call. That's what Title II protect. That's what Title II prevents, dude. Again, this guy's not an idiot. This guy is just fucking crafty. But more from this clown, and then I'm going to wrap it up.
The innovation is happening without having to go to government regulators and say, Mother, may I? Contrast taxi commissions in every city to Uber and Lyft. Just cities all over the country have taxi commissions. Name one taxi commission that has introduced any significant consumer improvements.
Hey, first off, there are reasons for taxi commissions. That is so that we keep what's called gypsy taxis from fucking people over. That is the reason why people must be on taxi commissions. It's more for consumer protection. But again, this is a guy who does not understand anything. The reason why you have Lyft, Uber, Sidecar, or any other rideshare programs, that is the innovation we're talking about. If so-called the taxi commissions wanted to take over the roles and put them out of business, you would be in support of that. So don't sit there and don't stand there at your little dumbass speech and proceed to tell people, oh yeah, it's all the Obama fault. They want to regulate everything. No, they don't want to regulate everything. They want to keep it the same. You're a conservative. Isn't that what the whole conservative mindset is all about? Keeping everything the same. Don't change shit. So you should be for net neutrality, you damn troll. More from this clown.
What happens when government starts regulating a service as a public utility? It calcifies everything. It freezes it in place. The government shouldn't be picking winners and losers between them. Whenever the federal government comes in and they put regulations, I promise the regulations over and over and over again will favor the big guys that have armies of lobbyists in there.
Wait, but Ted, you're preaching for the big guys. You're not preaching for the little guys. You may peddle that bullshit to other people who think you're this genuine and upbeat guy with a goofy smile on your face, but really you're peddling bullshit in favor for the big guys, for the Time Warners, for the Comcasts of the world, because they're the ones who want to mess with the internet, not the little guys, not the guys who are for net neutrality, which again, neutrality, not small guy superiority, or in this case, big corporation superiority, small guy neutrality. Keep the internet the same. Don't change it. Do not create slow lanes. Do not create fast lanes. Don't create any of that shit. Keep it the way it is. But again, this is a guy who will probably never get it. And as you heard, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand anything about net neutrality. He's just a tribalist. He's against net neutrality because Obama is for it. Plain and simple. In other news, more women have come forward to claim that Bill Cosby drugged and raped them. Now, I don't know what to think of this story. You know, Bill Cosby is a comedic legend, known for The Cosby Show. You can even go as far as back as the Fat Albert and the Kids Show. I'm not really that much of a fan of Bill Cosby. I think he's way before my time, actually. I was about to say a little bit, but he's way before my time. And I really didn't gel well with his stand-up. I think one of the best movies I've seen Cosby in, and no, it's not Ghost Dad. I didn't really like Ghost Dad all that much. The best Cosby movie I've seen is the ones with him and Sidney Poitier, which is Uptown Saturday Night Live and Let's Do It Again. Those are to me are some of his best movies. But it's kind of sad to see that so many women are coming forward with all these claims. Now, again, these claims are years old. These claims date back to as far back as like the 1960s, and as recent as, let me see here, as recent as 1992. Now, I don't know what to think. I really don't. Because on one hand, Bill has done and said some things about the black community that I just plain old don't agree with. You know, his infamous pound cake speech in which he is just berating poor blacks, telling them that it's all their fault for the situations they're in, and then completely ignoring the systemic racism that goes on in most of these communities and the lack of help that is given to these communities and the whole being a pedestal and trying to talk down to other black comedians who curse or make vulgar or say vulgar language or do sexy explicit stand up, and then you get charged with something like this. It kind of makes him seem a little hypocritical. But that was recently there's been an update. Gawker is now reporting that two more women have stepped up. That makes 13 have stepped forward today with allegations against Bill Cosby. One woman by the name of Retina Chanel Hill and Christina Rulli. Christina Rulli, who was one of the anonymous John Doe's to testify in the Andrea Constance case. That's the lawsuit from 2005 in which Bill Cosby kind of paid, Bill Cosby kind of settled out of court with this case to avoid jail time. The lawsuit spoke to the Philadelphia magazine. The 71-year-old claims that in 1965, at age 22, she met Cosby while working as a secretary at a talent agency. She says Cosby invited her to a party. When she showed up, it was just the two of them. He proceeded to pour some bourbon. She told the magazine, "I drank a bourbon and at seven at the time, I could hardly hold my liquor. I'm Irish, and I had a couple of those, just two, and then I just didn't remember much." She believes she was drugged. Now, I don't know how someone like a Bill Cosby can come back from this. I mean, this makes 13 women, and from what I was reading earlier, I believe it's now 15. How does somebody of his caliber come back to this? How does he keep his, you know, squeaky clean reputation, you know, as being the, you know, America's dad? But we shall see if any more women come forward. I've heard, you know, a lot of opinion on this. Some people think that, you know, a lot of these women were just waiting in the wings, waiting for, you know, one woman to quote unquote, you know, come up off of this. And now 15 have come up to try to come up off of this. But I don't know. In the end, we shall see. Now, he's not being charged with any of this. These are all the statute of limitation have long ran out on all of these. So this is really just a hit to his public image and his public persona. But in the coming months, this will probably blow over and Cosby will be back to doing stand-up routines, and he'll probably end up getting back those specials that he had that was either canceled or postponed, like the one on Netflix and the new CBS shows. So that's probably what's going to end up happening. You know how these things go. But I am going to go ahead and move on to the next news story. And this one ought to be a doozy. Remember how I said earlier about the, you know, the immigrants that was here before January 1st, 2014? Well, here's some bad news for them. The bad news for the immigrants, they're asked to pay taxes but won't receive federal benefits. As I said earlier on Thursday, Barack Obama granted millions of undocumented immigrants who are the parents of U.S. citizens or permanent residents who have lived in the U.S. for at least 5 years, the right to work and pay taxes. They don't, however, have the right to receive federal benefits, including subsidies under the Affordable Care Act, Medicaid coverage, and food stamps. I think this is quite fucked up. I think it's a little fucked up. First of all, I think it's fucked up that you're denying these people food stamps. Now, we can make an argument about the federal benefits and the Medicaid coverage. I'll concede to those because you did enter here illegally. But to deny somebody food, you can't call yourself a Christian after that, because that's the most unchristian thing to do, is to deny somebody food. I don't get it. But the article does go on to explain, and it talks about Esther Sanchez, an undocumented worker who's living in Queens, involved with Faith in New York, which does community organizing, came from the U.S. from Mexico in 1997. She has three children under the age of 13 who are all U.S. citizens. Now, they're entitled to all those benefits. She lives in constant fear that her husband, who's also an undocumented worker and who also undocumented and works as a chef at a pizza shop, won't come home. Speaking through a translator, she recalled a time where she was assaulted and the police responded to the incident, and she feared her status will be discovered. Now, see, that's the kind of stuff that should never come into play, whether you're documented or undocumented. The police should always help you. I don't give a if I was a police officer, I wouldn't really care about someone's undocumented status. That's, you know, customs and immigration enforcement problem. That's not a my problem. You need to solve the problem ahead. That's another reason why undocumented workers are so afraid to call the police, is because someone will report them as undocumented and deport them back to wherever they came from. So that's why, you know, reports of abuse go under that's why abuse goes underreported. I know I'm stumbling here, but forgive me. It's my first show. I'll get better. You know, reports of police reports don't get made about abuses or robberies or even rapes, because they'll deal with all of that abuse just to stay in this country. And to me, that shows some kind of dedication to wanting to be a citizen. So we should at least grant them that opportunity. And I'm not saying give them instant citizenship. I'm not for that. But if I say grant them the opportunity to become citizens, because they've already shown that they can work in this country. I mean, they take some of the most meager jobs that no one will pay for. I mean, ask yourself this question. Are you willing to work 8 to 10 hours a day under the hot sun picking fruit? No, for $9 an hour? No, you're not going to do that. Name me an American that will do that. They won't. They will refuse to do it, because why? The labor don't match the work. I mean, the labor don't match the pay. Some of these people are nannies who probably live with the people that employ them, and they probably work under the most shabbiest conditions. They're constantly on call 24 hours a day. And literally are paid, and literally are probably only paid $200 a week for that kind of work. And some of these are laborers also. These people, you know, you've seen, if you live in California like I do, you've seen them line up at a Home Depot and get paid $20 a day for this work. Why not allow them the opportunity to go find better work, to put their skills to better use, to help this country, rather than just kick them out because they illegally crossed this arbitrary boundary that we put up? Because that's really all a border is. We put up that arbitrary boundary. We put that up. There's nothing in writing that says this is what the U.S. looks like. There's nothing there. So again, allow them this opportunity to be citizens. Don't kick them out. I mean, if you want to deport them, at least deport them for reasons that make sense. Like they're criminals. They committed a criminal act. They're suspected terrorists. Those are ones I will agree with you on. But kicking them out because they crossed this arbitrary line that we drew in the sand? No. Give them an opportunity to at least try to become citizens. Now, I'm going to end the show with something that I stole from Piper the DJ, who is the host of Trending Mobile Technology, which you can find right here on the Trending Topics Network. And that is the ID10T Award. This week's ID10T Award goes to the most factually inaccurate, disingenuous black conservatives on the internet today, and that's Alfonso Rachel of PJTV on YouTube. Now, what is some of the most idiotic things that he have said that just drew my ire? Well, in a recent response to one of his videos that he put up, he had this to say.
Are an amazing breed, and that y'all overthink things without actually thinking things through. But I want to follow up with some of the comments I got from some libertarians concerning one of my recent videos. Here's one from a YouTube user called The God You Wish You Knew, and some others that tried to parrot his point, who say, I don't understand the argument of, if a woman feels she should be able to have an abortion, she will eventually expect you to pay for it. You can use that argument for anything. If a woman feels she has a right to use a gun, she will eventually expect you to pay for it. Look, dude, perhaps you haven't heard the statement, free abortion on demand without apology.
That is inherently not true. When they talk about free abortion, that's not what they mean. What they mean is that they want to have the ability to have an abortion without going to jail. It has nothing to do with, oh, who's going to pay for it. But we'll talk about more about that in a minute. More from this clown.
If a woman feels like she has the right to deprive another human being of their right to live, then she will also include feeling entitled to deprive another person of their right to property to pay for it. that's proven? What world are you living in where the majority of abortions are not paid for by the taxpayer?
None. There are no abortions that are paid for by taxpayers. You can look up any study that says that. And from the speaking of numbers, the Guttmeier Institute states that 50% of all abortions are paid for out of pocket. 20% are paid for through Medicaid, depending on the state that you live in, while 13% are financial assistance from the institute themselves, whether it's a loan or reduced payment or reduced costs. 12% is private health insurance, while the remaining 2% is from friends and family. What taxpayers are paying for abortion? That's from the Guttmeier Institute that did the study. You can go fix that out. You can go find that out for yourself. But see, again, if I ran a conservative show, I wouldn't give you those numbers. I wouldn't at all, because I wouldn't need to do any fucking studying. I wouldn't actually need to do any research into what I'm talking about. Also, we can argue about what constitutes a human being at what time. That's an argument in of itself. But according to when abortions normally happen, it's less than 7 weeks, and that's 33.3% of all abortions. After that, 7 to 8 weeks, 29.8%. Between 9 and 12 weeks, 29.7%. And the rest, and it dramatically drops 13 weeks after that at 6.2%. So women aren't having abortions when the baby is fully developed and getting ready to come out in 2 seconds from being birthed. That's a straw man argument. Straw man arguments you're doing. But again, he's a conservative. I don't expect him to actually bring numbers to a game and bring studies to his argument. He is just going to go off his own vitriol emotion about how he feels about abortion, about how he feels who should be paying for it. Again, I will quote the numbers again. 57% of all abortions are paid out of pocket. That means the woman is paying for the abortion. Are you paying for it? No, you're not. But more from this clown.
And that is way different from owning a gun. Let me explain the difference to you. An abortion deprives another human being of their rights.
Again, whatever you constitute as a human being, I'm gonna let science tell me how to constitute a human being. But a gun also deprives people of their rights, their right to a speedy trial, because you're gonna kill the guy, because if you pull out your gun, you're gonna fucking kill the guy, because why? It's your American right to have a gun. More from this clown.
That's what abortion is for. That's what it does. It cuts a person off from their rights without due process.
And a gun doesn't do that. Look at the circular logic you're using. Oh, guns don't kill people. Abortions kill people. Right. All right. Keep going.
Show me in real life where your argument holds up, where you can apply the mentality of a woman having an abortion who will most likely expect the taxpayer to pay for it.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is a prime example of talking without knowing shit. Again, I will go over the numbers. 57% of abortions are paid out of pocket. 20% are paid through Medicaid, depending on the state you live in. 13% is financial assistance. 12% is private health insurance. 2% is loans from families and friends. You're going to need to come with some evidence to prove your case. Otherwise, you're just talking out the side of your ass. Or, as I like to say, you're talking out the place that shit comes out of.
Your argument is totally warped and not based in any reality. Like, the woman who feels like aborting a child is the summit of a woman's power and that it represents her sovereignty and independence. Meanwhile, she supports the demand to be dependent on the taxpayer to pay for that so-called independent choice to deprive another human being of their right to live.
I am pro-choice. So that means I agree with decisions that a woman make concerning her own body. You, my friend, are pro-life. You'll care about a child as long as it's in the womb and it's being created. But as soon as it's birthed, you wish it good luck on its journey and don't do shit to actually help it out. You're the same person who will say, oh no, don't do anything to harm a child. Abortion is wrong, but let's make cuts to the social safety net. That has proven to actually help this child along the way as he grows to be an adult. But you want to make cuts to that because, well, you don't know, because a lot of poor people are on it and I'm sick and tired of my tax dollars going to poor people. Well, I'm not sick and tired of my tax dollars going to poor people. Really not. But more from this clown.
Libertarians sound like Islamist apologists. If you disagree with libertarians, they say it's because you don't understand it. You need to do your research. You need to read this. You need to read that.
Because that's how smart, intelligent people make nuanced choices and come up with nuanced opinions. You do have to research and read into things that you're going to be against and find out why it's bad and prove your case. Just because you get on the internet, put a dumb green screen up, and spout out a bunch of opinions doesn't make you fucking smart.
Oh, I get it. I can only understand libertarianism if I think like you.
No, you don't have to think like a libertarian. You can keep being an idiot conservative. At least be, but what they're asking is, at least be, you know, informative about what libertarians believe in. I'm not a libertarian, but at least I'm informed about what they believe in. If when I say free market ideas, the free market can't decide for itself, I'll have some sort of basis to go on. I will show them something that says, hey, this is why free markets don't work. This is why there must be some form of regulation. Now, me and a libertarian can go back and forth about what those regulations should be. But at the end of the day, he'll know that I understand where he comes from when he speaks these libertarian values. You don't. You're a shill. You're a tribalist. Whatever your party's against, you're against. Whatever your party is for, you're for. And you will come up with an argument to fit those narratives.
And don't preach to me about letting the Lord be my standard, trying to be the self-righteous selective Christian, and then on the other side of your mouth, boast about libertarianism being about doing what you like.
First off, that is the quintessential definition of a walking, talking hypocrite, because that's what you do on all your shows. You spout out selective Christian ideas that you like, while at the same time spouting out complete contradictions of those same Christian ideas. Yeah, you are the definition of the walking, talking hypocrite.
Where in the Bible does Jesus say, do what you like? Jesus did, however, say, go forth and don't sin anymore. But I get it. If you ain't sinning, you ain't living. And Jesus is only good enough to justify people for doing whatever they want while pretending that it never affects somebody else.
You know, you just described the complete contradiction of your Christian-held beliefs and your political ideas. Right? You know you just did that, right? You know you fucked up, right? You know that, right?
Guess you missed that part in the Bible about when Christ returns. He's going to bring a war with him. He gave his enemies the greatest opportunity for peace. It was rejected. War is next. The Bible says make peace where it's possible. It ain't always possible with men. And the Messiah will be returning with a war of retribution the likes the world has never seen.
You're not the first to tell people that Christ is coming back with a vengeance, so stop acting like it. First off, Christ will not be coming back with a vengeance. He's going to come back and bring peace. That is what Revelations, which you're quoting from, says. Christ is going to come back with peace after years of war. See, I don't need to read. I've read the Bible a long time ago, and I don't read it now, but that's some stuff I do remember. Now, why should we listen to you and just not try to create peace with man? Oh, no, because you're one of those conservatives that wants Armageddon to show up at your doorstep right now because it would mean, oh, Christ is coming back. Again, it just goes to show that you are not to be taken serious. If you have listeners, I hope you don't have listeners, and I hope people don't take you serious on that one and actually stop trying to pursue peace.
And what is it with the small L libertarian stuff? If being a libertarian is so awesome, own it and be a libertarian with a capital libertarian.
There is no such thing as small L libertarian. Stop making shit up. He goes on to say other dumb shit that I probably won't get into, but this is a reason why I give guys like him the ID10T award. It's because not only does he think that women don't have a choice when it comes to their own body because another human is there, but we can't really prove it's a human. He also seems to think that libertarians are stupid and should just, you know, follow the Republican Party, and they really don't have any ideas of their own, or they really don't have any platforms that they love to be on. And he also seems to think that fuck peace, Christ is coming back anyway. If we continue to pursue war, Christ is going to come back and we'll all be in heaven again. This is the kind of thinking that doesn't lead to anything good happening. No progress, no kind of peacemaking efforts. Even though there always will be fighting going on, I always want some kind of peace effort to go on after all the fighting. I don't want to be continuous fighting until some mythical creature shows up and then there's peace again. You want that? You can go wait out in a bunker somewhere in some desert and you can wait on that yourself while the rest of us, humankind here, work towards peace, work towards innovation, and work towards bettering ourselves as a race. And what we don't need is your biblical instigating to continue this fighting that's been going on because you're waiting on Christ to show up and smooth everything out. No, I live on this earth. You live on this earth. If you don't want peace, you can live in a bunker somewhere in Arizona with your rations and guns. I will be still here on this earth trying to make it a little bit more pleasant for my children and their children after that. Well, that'll do it for me this week. I will see you all next week. You can contact me at thisisrealnews@gmail.com. Let me know how the first show went. Let me know what else I should talk about. And should I roast some more of these motherfuckers on ID10T? I will holler at y'all later. Peace.
Records, man, all of them.